I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 428. They lied about the prerequisites to succeed in Bloodborne. Electric Sisterhood, home of the best,
the fucking best
girl gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to another brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hey, bro.
Hey. How you doing?
I'm doing, though it sounds like you are kind of on a Dayquil, NyQuil trip right about now.
I am on a Cyquil, if you will. See what I did there?
I saw that,
it's cyclical, how I transition from day to night, Quil. But I am committed to doing this podcast as much as possible. So no clip show, I'm rallying through the sickness.
Good.
Because I love everybody that listens to this podcast. Plus, I have actually some things I want to talk about. So, it's like, meh. I kind of sound kind of cool. I'm just, like, right before that episode of the Brady Bunch where Peter Brady, like, goes through puberty on the record. So, if my voice breaks, then we are just going to call this episode A Time to Change because nostalgia in the feels. Or something like that. I don't know. But what I do know is that I got a bunch of things to talk about. I know you have a bunch of things to talk about.
Actually, I think our big thing is probably going to be the same topic.
It's probably the same topic. So first and foremost, I've been watching anime, as I often do, because we talk about anime and video game and tech gadgets. And I've been watching this one called Sister Devil of New Testament.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you've mentioned that a couple times on the show.
Oh, well, I've mentioned that it's on, or that, like, it's weird, or it would probably be up your alley. But I don't think I've actually talked about it. And I'm not gonna, like, deep dive into it, because there's really no deep there. It's like, you know how there's a bunch of series that are, like, just this shy of basically being hentai?
Yep.
Sister Testament of New Devil is basically that, or Sister Devil of New Testament. I think it's Sister Testament of New Devil. I can't, there's so many words.
Okay.
Alright, anyway, the protagonist of the story is the daughter of the devil, and the devil has been defeated, and so there's a row in hell because everybody wants to take over and lead. Unfortunately, they gotta get rid of this chick because she will inherit eventually all of the devil's power and take a seat. So all the different factions are trying to kill her. And mind you, she's only like, they say she's a high school student, but she's drawn like a 15-year-old.
Of course, because, you know.
Yeah, that.
Kind of gives me like a devil versus realist.
It kinda kind is of. Devil versus realist, except more sexist. So the young girl is running around with her henchwoman, who is a succubus.
Okay.
And bumps into this guy. Somehow glamours him into thinking that he's married the girl's mother. So they're an instant new family. So he brings the two girls home, the succubus and the daughter of the devil, and introduces them as little sisters to his son. And his son's like, the fuck are you talking about, new family? And he's like, yeah, we're going to take a family portrait. It's going to be amazing. But then I have to immediately go on this trip right now. And her mom is off doing some humanitarian work. So it's just going to be you guys in the house for a while I run off to, like, India or whatever. But remember, because we took this family photo, that you're family. And as a big brother, you need to take care of your little sisters. Now, as it turns out, they didn't actually really glamour him because the dad and the boy are from a village of heroes, like wearing knight's apparel, you know, armor and shit, heroes.
Mm-hmm.
There goes the crack one. And so he never fell for it, but he felt bad for these two girls. So he's like, oh, I'll play along. We'll bring him into the family. I'll take care of him. It'll be cool. And, you know, I'll give my son something to do. So an attack happens, and the girls are basically about to get their ass handed to him when the son breaks out a mythical, like, amazing blade that glows from his hand and takes out these demons and is like, yeah, I know you guys tried to make me leave my house or whatever because you thought that we were glamored, but we're family, so I'm going to take care of you and stuff like that, so don't worry. I don't care that you're the daughter of the devil. It's all going to be good. And, oh, yeah, it's kind of awkward that it's, like, me and two chicks living in the house. And the succubus is like, yeah, you know, there's all kinds of things that we could do to repay you. And it's like, really, succubus? Really?
That's kind of what they do.
But the succubus is drawn like she's 9.
Right.
Okay? So you're just, like, kind of weirded out by that. And then, in order to, like, help everybody's power, because something happened, and so the boy hero doesn't have his full armor, because there's, like, some shit that happened in the village, and he basically got booted out of the village with his dad. He got exiled, because something happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, so he's not at full power, so the succubus is like, well, she's not at full power either, so if you guys make a contract together, then you can empower each other, and it'll be great. But it's a contract of subjugation.
Uh-huh.
So this is where the hentai comes in. Because basically, he has to BDSM, like, entice her to the point where she basically climaxes. They don't say it on the show.
Of course not. Because they
blank it out with, like, either a white bar or a black bar. But, like, you see him start going in, and the succubus is like, yeah. Do more of that. Do more of that. And he's obviously, like, doing things to her nipples and stuff. And at first he's kind of reluctant, but she's like, yeah, don't do that. And she's, like, crying, but in the passionate kind of, I want it really badly, though, crying.
I feel very awkward listening to you talk about
this. It's so bad. And then, like, at the end of the whole sequence, he's like, oh, you did so good. That was, like, the longest you've ever gone. That was, like, 17. I can feel our power increasing. And the succubus is, like, in the back corner, like, yeah! And he's like, what the
fuck? Stop. It's so awkward. Stop.
It's so awkward. And then they go, like, into a fight. And then they come out of it, and just like, this is so weird. I don't understand. Wait. You have to make her come 17 times before you can fight? I don't...
Pokemon.
It kind of is. It's like, Devil Girl, I choose you! With the power of climax.
Oh my God, it's
so bad. But I can't stop watching it because it's so bad. Like, it's horrible.
I can't watch this.
Like, I've watched hentai with more of a plot line.
Me too.
It's like, so, I'm just like, but this is not hentai. But it kind of really wanted to be. I feel like it wanted to be a hentai. They're like, oh, guys, we can't do that anymore. So back up. Let's throw some other characters in here who have the hots for this guy and feel really upset that he's constantly...
Like, with a lot of intense moments with convenient black bars.
Yes. And fuzzy circles. Because, you know, I would really, all of the girls get their uniforms blown off them in some kind of event.
I would really love for there to be an anime one day where literally, like, the black bar, the white bar, and the blurry were, like, a character. So, like, it was somehow, like, a teenage student at the school that just happened to walk by during times where we were, like...
It was just always naked, so it's just...
Like, oh!
They just... A whole like, character.
Library. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going... Good. Follow me. And, like, I wish they would make it its own character, because it clearly deserves some credit for as
yeah,
many
it's,
as they
it's,
make in shows.
It's so bad. Like... If she gets upset, the collar of subjugation for their pack thing goes into effect and she just starts huffing and making noises, just out in public or whatever. And so the guy has to take her someplace and pretty much bring her through as many climaxes as possible before it, like, disintegrates and they could go about their business. of just being normal kind of sort of teenagers going to school and stuff. You know.
Like, we gotta do this right quick before math class. Like, could you imagine that happening, like, in the middle of a final or a midterm?
Yeah, it right. just, like, because it only happens if she gets pissed off. Basically, it's a punishment for having any negative feelings towards her contract master. So, like, and she's a sundry character. So, I mean, that's why I say it's, like...
Oh, God, so it probably happens, like, every episode.
Every episode, at least once, if not twice in an episode. Because something will happen and she'll be like, blah, 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 and then you'll see the column flick over like, oh, God, here we go. Yeah. Okay. And what's today? Oh, today is going to be a nipple flick. For like an hour. Okay. Okay. Yep. All right. Well, you just handle that. I'm going to go make a coffee. By the time I come back, you guys should be done because she should have been like around 13 or so climaxes and we could actually get to like
the
plot of the episode. Or at least the fight? Oh, the fight. Fight's gonna be between two chicks, and this one's gonna blow that one's armor off. Just around her boobs. You know, oh, and we're gonna break the skirt so we can see the leg. Yep. Alright. But we're gonna black bar the boob part because, you know, boobs. Alright. So there you go. So if you wanna watch a hentai, but not really, Sister Testament of New Devil. Just hard pass on that one. Like, I don't have a problem with hentai, as you well know. I don't have a problem.
You dedicated a whole episode to it.
Okay. I don't have a problem with shows that are this close to being hentai. As long as there's something decent in it. Like, it's got good fights, or the character, or it makes sense that sex is the vehicle for whatever reason. Like, if the protagonist was a succubus, I think I'd have less problem with it. Because I'd be like, it's a succubus. Right. You trade in sex. That's how you get your power. Like, oh, yeah, bing, ding, makes sense. But it's the daughter of the devil. Like, evil? Shouldn't it be evil?
Or like...
You know, or
something that revolved around like the seven...
Or an angel that fell because of lust. Like, I could follow that. You know? I mean, like, hey!
More sense out of this series than the series is making its sense out of its series.
Exactly. So, that's one that you can skip. Like, especially because they black bar everything, so you don't even get to see the boobs. So, if you're looking for a series like, I kind of want to see some animated boobies. Not the series. Not the one. You're just going to be cock-blocked, and you're going to be really upset.
That's okay. I was watching an anime series where... It's pretty much like a dating sim, and your main character's a chick, and she goes to a pastry school, and all the innuendos refer to, like...
Yeah, you were talking about that one a while ago.
Like, oh, you're profiterole, oh, and it's so gross. I'm like, I like eating bakery goods, but after watching this series, I feel kind of...
You kind of feel a little dirty, don't you?
I'm like, could I get a lobster roll, please? Don't look me in the face. I know.
I know.
I feel like everyone knows I've watched it, so they're judging me. It's like, oh, you want a cannoli, huh? And I'm like, stop.
No, I just, I like mascarpone.
Exactly, right? Like, I applaud them for taking the risk. I just wish I had not taken the chance in watching it. Because of how influenced.
Well, have you watched the cutie boy high school one yet?
No. You should
watch that because it is such an amazing spoof on Sailor Moon. It's basically a bunch of high school guys that get granted power by this space koala, basically.
Space koala.
Yeah, I can't remember if it's like a koala or a platypus, but I'm pretty sure it's like a space koala. Who is just like, hey, we need a new Earth Defense Force because love is something that should be defended and Earth is one of the places where it really only exists. So I'm going to give you guys the power to bring love to people. And so basically what happens, and it's all boys, cute boys, and they all have pretty boy transformations.
Of course they do, because who doesn't love pretty boy transformations?
Into Sailor Boy uniforms. With big bows and stuff. And they each have different powers, and they have different sayings. None of them know any of the sayings. They're all like, this is kind of bullshit. I don't understand why this is happening to us, but, you know, so-and-so's into it a little bit, because one of the guys is kind of like an energetic, cutesy otaku boy anyway. So when it happens, he's like, oh, this means that I'm kind of like a senshi, so I should be able to do stuff like this. Well, what if I do that? So he's like totally into it, and mm-hmm. is fighting these people who have fallen out of love with different things. They get taken over by their evil feelings and become their thing. So, like, the first episode is this kid who basically is left alone by everybody on campus. Not that he goes out of his way to say hi to people or things like that. He just assumes that everybody's ignoring him, and so he's lonely and decides that, you know, people are bullshit and the world is bullshit and love doesn't really exist because
sounds like freaking emos that I know now.
Because nobody's having lunch with him. So evil power takes over and turns him into his lunch.
Because he loved his lunch and now he doesn't love his lunch.
And so because the whole thing was nobody was like talking to him or enjoying lunch, and he felt like it was like this one food that like is, everybody has, and, but nobody really likes. And so he's like, I'm just like this food. And so he turns into a big fucking version like of it. I think it's like a roll or something that sometimes people probably have like with their ramen or some shit or like something. That. Yeah, and so he's like hitting people at the school with little versions of these buns that he shoots out from the entirety of his body.
That's not gross.
And so the defense force transforms unwittingly. And so
except
one of the
one guy who's like, yeah,
exactly, and is like doing somersaults and going in and like trying to kill him. But he can't. He's like, you don't understand. You're absolutely full of love. The truth of love is this food. And, like, the other guy's like, yeah, I guess we kind of have to go in on this because we were kind of saying that. So
we won't defeat him. And
they transform, but they're like, oh, we're on the roof. We've got to climb down. And one kid's like, no, we don't. And just jumps off the roof. They're like, dude, you're going to die. But he does a somersault and lands. And they're like, how did that even work? And they're like, well, it shouldn't work, but it did. So everybody, let's jump off the roof. So they all go and they land like, wow, that's kind of cool. But really, wands, why do we have to have these wands with, like, big hearts on the end? And the koala's like, because you have to defend love. And you're just like, I can't process all the things that are happening right now. But it's such a train wreck. Because it pokes fun in itself the entire way through.
I like when an anime can make fun of itself or address tropes in its own culture.
Yeah, that's all it does. Like, it literally
do not define things in reality.
Like, you have the dark side coalition of these really bad boys that, like, typically have red, white, and purple hair. So, all the bad colors.
Yep.
And the one color that could go either way.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
So they're on the dark side trying to
subgroup.
Exactly. And so they're trying to bring hate and take love away from the world so that their evil organization in space can come and take over the planet. And you're just like, I can't not watch this. So I'm telling you right now, Panda, it's really right up your alley.
I don't know if I can. But since we're talking about pretty boys and transformations and stuff, I have a small gripe that I need to, like, get out.
Oh, is it a small gripe or is it a great gripe?
It's small. It's actually quite small.
All right.
So we all know I'm a Sailor Moon fan, and that Sailor Moon Crystal is still streaming on Crunchyroll right now.
Yep.
And at first I wasn't about it, as we know. Go back a couple episodes and I bitch about it. But I've actually kind of fallen in a deeper
back in love.
A deeper appreciation. Like, I do like what they're doing with it.
Are you not saying you're in love?
Not in love yet, but I love that they're taking the source material very seriously, like, which I definitely like. I'm upset that there's no Sailor Moon R, but like I said before, that's more of a filler season, so it doesn't really fall in line with the rest of the story. So it's
I never saw R, so I don't know that I'm missing anything.
You're not. Like, if you read the manga and then went to the anime series, you'd be confused why R happens, but that's not where my gripe is.
Okay.
So, they've kind of jumped to Sailor Moon S, which actually kind of furthers what was going on in the first season of Sailor Moon. So, like, it works. Understandable. And that's when Rini kind of shows up. And
I love Rini!
And Neo Tokyo and Neo Queen Serenity and the whole Dark Moon trilogy is now what's being showcased in Crystal, which is fine. Here's my issue.
Uh-oh.
Because in the original manga, Edamon or Darien or Mamoru, whichever name you want to call Tuxedo Mask.
I'll go with Darien.
So obviously he marries, you know, Serena, and they become king and queen of Neo Tokyo.
So, yeah, and make Rini.
And they make Rini. And Rini goes back into the past because she kind of fucked up, and the Dark Moon has invaded, you know, Serenity, the Neo Kingdom.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Here's my issue. So in this latest episode that they showed, you were seeing the Sailor Senshi be abducted by Prince Diamond's guys, because that's what kind of happens before they end up going into the past to see what happened the first time.
Right.
And even in that, Tuxedo Mask really didn't have much of a... If you haven't figured out, Darien doesn't really have much of a role outside of, I'll drop a rose, I'll spout something encouraging because I'm the love interest and I have...
No, like he swoops in and saves the day when Serena's, like, up against the wall.
No, because in the original, in the 90s version, he threw a rose, he said something encouraging. Sometimes he, like, blocked an attack from a bad guy, but he...
That's what I meant.
He never got his hands dirty.
Yeah.
Then again, when he went through Sailor Moon R, when he lost his memory, and the White Knight came in, the White Knight did a lot more physical combat than Tuxedo Mask did.
Yeah.
Which I think is why a lot of people dug that whole season, because he was actually more active, but... Then going back into Sailor S, it went back to the Tuxedo Mask format, and he really was just an encouraging, right place, right time kind of guy.
Like, yeah.
It's nothing else to him.
Right. Well,
even in the manga, he, you know, once again, it was about his love with Serena. It wasn't really about his physicality in any of the battles. And they are taking a liberty that I don't remember reading, which means I could be wrong, but I feel in my gut I'm not, that... They gave him a projectile attack. They gave him an ability that he never had, to my recollection, in the manga or even in the series. Never had it. Like, literally, he's, like, fighting.
Well, do you think that they maybe went, hey, guys, here's a chance for us to make...
Should
maybe
fight.
Maybe here's a chance for Darien to not be just, like, a pussy on the sideline. Because, frankly, that's one of the things I hated about Tuxedo Mask. Is, like, he shows up on the sideline, all these girls are getting their ass beat, and he's just like, you can do it, here's a rose, and just stood there.
Or he would throw the rose, say something encouraging, the battle would end, they'd all be all beaten up, and he'd be holding... Serena's hand, like, you did a good job, babe.
Exactly. Like, that's a horrible boyfriend. So maybe, Panda, just maybe, these guys sat down like, hey, look, we're going to go and we're going to, for Crystal, we're going to skip R, we're going to go straight to S, but here's the thing. We need to do something with Tuxedo Mask. He can't just be on the sideline and basically be a cheerleader. Because that's basically what he was.
He totally, yeah.
Okay, so maybe they had, so maybe that's what happened, Panda. And they were like, so what can we do that kind of makes sense? They're like, we'll give him an attack.
Well, here's my thing. Like, this is where the gripe comes in. So, okay, they've given him an attack.
So that he's not just a glorified cheerleader.
I mean, he's tapping into this power because he's, you know, and that was the whole thing of this episode. He's just like, I don't have any power to help fight. And like, mind you, in the first season, you know, you find out that Zoisite and Malachite and all of them were all his generals, which was true in the original source material.
Yeah.
And, like, he has these stones of all of them, and, like, he can summon their spirits, which I don't remember him doing in the manga. But, hey, it's okay. They're giving these people some
It's props, a new day.
Which I appreciate. But, like, they're like, you have a power? And he's like, no, I don't. And, like, during the fight, like, they're all talking to him in his mind. They're like, put your hand up. Feel that tingle and just let the words flow. And, like, I'm like, what is this? And then he does this, like, projectile, like, kamehameha out of his one
hand. He has a kamehameha? He
does. It's like a white kamehameha.
Yeah. You mean kamehameha?
That thing. And he does it, and he's like, there's power here. And mind you, in the original 1990 version, while he did not have any attacks, really, outside of the, you know, the throwing of the rose and sometimes, like, blocking with, like, his fucking cane of awesome, they didn't give him his transformation, because he had a transformation scene. It was corny as fuck, but
I don't remember him having a transformation scene.
They only showed it in one episode. It was the episode where Serena and him, it was in the first season, they got trapped in an elevator leading up to Beryl. And Beryl sent a fireball down at them. And they, you know, Serena's like, Darien doesn't know my secret, but I have to transform into Sailor Moon or we're both going to get skewered. And then she transforms and he's all like, and he's like, well, and then he takes out his rose and does the corniest transformation, I think, in the history of all anime at that time, because there have since been far worse transformations. But literally, he pulls out his rose, it becomes translucent, then a billowy cape of, like, stardust circles around him, the hat hovers over his head like a freaking UFO.
How did I miss this?
It is amazingly awesome, but it, unawesome. But anyway, they took away his corny transformation and traded it in for a corny, like, projectile blast attack. And, like, I appreciate it because you're right. They kind of made Darien a giant pussy and a cheerleader and all
that. Not
that
cheerleader's a pussy because competitive cheerleading is fucking brutal.
Right.
But they turned him into, like, a 50s cheerleader.
They did. Like, yeah, go get him. I can't do anything but be supportive of you.
Exactly. And so they gave him something. So they gave him something so he could be an active part.
I feel like they have done, is what they've done a Bambi for me. Cause if you remember in Bambi, like there was that one line and I quote it to this day because something about it just resonates in my soul. And I probably have some issues that need to be sorted out because of this.
No.
But remember Bambi goes from like his younger self to like his stag when he starts getting his horns and stuff. And everyone's like, hey Bambi, where are your spots? Because he had spots when he was like a doe.
Yeah.
He was like, and he's like, yeah, I traded my spots for antlers. And like in my mind, I hear Darien going, I traded my crappy transformation for a crappy projectile kamayamiya. Like in my mind, that's what happened.
I haven't seen this transformation, so I'm going to need a YouTube link
for this show because
so I can see it. But it sounds like that's an upgrade.
It does. I was so expecting.
I mean, because there's nothing worse than a bad pretty boy transformation, like the Crimson Fighter one with the guy. Like, I love that pretty boy transformation. It was like so perfectly spot on Sailor Moon.
Yeah. No, and I just.
But a bad transformation, basically getting swapped out for
mediocre.
But at least a aggressive attack for somebody who didn't have one previously.
Aggressive attack in his whole entire life.
It's probably an upgrade.
Possibly. It was just, I wasn't expecting it.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
So, I mean, I was just like, what is that? What? And, I mean.
Did you have a little jaw moment where you're like, what?
Yeah,
okay.
Okay. And then I thought about it, but. I don't know. Like, I'm just... If this is the only time we ever see this projectile attack, I think I'll feel more confident because you only saw that transformation once. So, therefore, they're doing a one-and-done thing, so be it. But if they're going in the vein of trying to make, you know, Darien, Mamoru seem more, active in the relationship, then okay. And now, apparently, he has, like, life sonar. Like, he can sense all life on Earth. I mean, he is the Prince of Earth, so okay, that would seem like something he could be able to do, but all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I could touch the Earth and just locate anything. Like, he's like a living GPS.
Think about it. The sailors kind of need that, though.
Like, they're all like, I don't know.
They're constantly getting...
Touch the ground.
They're constantly getting lost and separated from each other, so they kind of do need a sailor GPS.
That would have been a useful skill for him to have exuded earlier in the source material and also in the 90s.
Yeah. That would have been, like, so helpful in the 90s.
Yeah. Especially
be like, hey, guess what? Beryl's right here. Let's go get that bitch.
Beryl's in the Antarctic, just so you guys know. She hasn't moved. Like, that's where she is. So when you're ready, we could just go there. Like, boom. Like, could have completely cut.
Taken out, like, 6 filler episodes.
Boom. Exactly. But they didn't. But that's my gripe. But I do like how they're taking it, and I do like that they're shining a new light on Sailor Moon S with the Black Diamond series, because I mean, we got it in the manga, and I mean, there's something that's easily lost in translation, and then the version of the 90s kind of made Prince Diamond seem like he was just overly obsessed with Serena. Spoiler alert, he has a thing for her and pretty much is trying to take over Neo Tokyo because he wants to get Darien out of the picture so that he can have Neo Queen Serenity all to himself, Well, in the original source material, he, you know, attempted to rape her.
Yeah, they're not going to animate that. Because they want to introduce this to a new audience, they're not going to...
They're being more real about it, because, like, in those, he always just had, like, had a small, like, projector of her, and, like, they're showing, like, the source material, like, he had this giant projector of her, and, like, he just constantly sits in a dark room and, like, deep breathes at it. Like, in that, you know he's indecent. You know, like, the bad guy from Hunchback of Notre Dame?
And yes.
Like, thong. Like, yes. They're yes. giving him moments like that. And I'm like, okay, now I'm even more creeped out about this guy, which is what their initial intention was. So, like I said, thumbs up for that, because they're laying it on in a way that makes it believable. But also, like, I was just not ready from my nostalgic standpoint to see that and recognize that as how it probably went down.
Right. Well, it's probably, and it's one of those things, and I remember them saying early on is that, you know, they wanted to tap the nostalgia, but it wasn't going to be a verbatim nostalgia run.
Right.
And I think that they're proving that, and I think they're doing it in a decent way.
They clearly are. But yeah, so that's my little gripe on the anime tip.
But hey, you know, enough about ranting with small gripes, which I think we've kind of gotten to the point where we've decided it's not so much a gripe as such as, guys, really? Yeah. Convince me.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely
So that's good, you know, that you want to be convinced, because if that's the only big negative that you have to say about a reboot...
I know people are griping about the animation, but Sally, you know, we're in 2015. It's not going to look like
the animation's 90s. Fine. It shouldn't look like the 90s. You know, that's one of the things of, like, if you're going to redo something, you should make it your own, and you should make it as much as possible relevant to the time that you're in. Like, as much as it hurts me to even, like, have these words come out of my mouth a little bit, because there's a bunch of nostalgia things that are getting remade now. There's gonna be a live action Fraggle Rock movie. I don't know how I feel about that, even though it has JGL in it, Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Even though
they're gonna go just to see him, they're gonna imagine Inception. And just not.
They're just gonna imagine JGL naked and be like, hey, I'm gonna go see it. Even though it's a Fraggle movie, so you know he's not gonna be naked in it. But any chance to, like, get him shirtless will be fine by me. But, you know, I have concerns about a live action Fraggle movie. You know, I was not impressed with any of the Smurf things that they did. They were not Smurftastic. And they had Neil Patrick Harris in one of them. I mean, come on.
And then the Chipmunk movies.
Don't get me started on the Chipmunk movies. Although, I do enjoy watching the Chipmunk movies when I'm sick, because they just make me laugh, because they're so bad.
I admit, I like the Squeakquel.
Which one was the Squeakquel? Was that the, not Chipwrecked, right? That's not when they got on the ship.
No, the one where they introduced the Chipettes.
The one when they introduced the Chipettes. Yeah. Right, that had, comedian that we like, that does the pretty nail thing.
Yes.
Angela Johnson in it.
Yeah.
Doing no jokes.
I liked the Squeakquel. I didn't like the original, except for, what's his name? The bad guy in that.
David Cross?
The bad guy in the Squeakquel. Yes. I like him, because he's funny to watch.
He's a very good comedian.
So, like, he was good in the first movie, but I liked the Squeakquel better, which is why I will admit that I watch...
I watched the Chipwrecked. I've seen them all, including Chipwrecked. Chipwrecked I watched because it was on HBO, and I had a fever of 104. And I was like, I'm watching nothing but kitty things today. So I finished. So I finished a My Little Pony marathon. I went through season one of Fraggle Rock, and I was like, I need more things to fall asleep to, so I won't feel bad that I missed half of it when I wake up. So I put on Chipwrecked. What I remember was cute. I don't remember most of the movie.
Well, let's talk about something that might not be necessarily cute, but good nonetheless.
So we're about to talk about Bloodborne now?
Yes, we're finally going to talk about Bloodborne.
Okay, good. Because here's the thing. I'm going to say it right now, and this is not me being defeatist, okay? I'm prefacing it.
Oh, God, here it comes.
I'm not going to finish this game. I'm not. I suck at it so bad. Guys, I suck at this game so bad. It hurts me to say that. Like, I love brawlers. Panda, you know I love brawlers.
I don't know why you would consider this a brawler, though.
It's because it's mostly open world action fight. Yeah. It has the RPG element of building up your elements.
You're not brawling so aggressively that you're, like, button mashing through. Like, this is not, like, the bouncer. Like,
No. The bouncer was a true brawler. Okay, I'm not saying that. We haven't had a true brawler in for fucking ever.
You didn't play Demon Souls and you didn't play Dark Souls, so why on earth would you think you were ready for Bloodborne?
Because Bloodborne?
I never baked a day in my life, but I'm gonna make a
Hold on. From said that this is not a sole successor to either of those games. Panda. This is my time to talk. My time.
Okay.
Okay. And they specifically said that you did not need to play any of the previous games to play Bloodborne.
They lied.
Oh, well, that's not my fault. I believe what they said. So I'm like, hey, this game looks like
money.
This game on paper, and of course from what we saw at E3, looked exactly like my type of game.
It did. It looked looked like a more dark, sinister Order 1886.
Exactly. Is a darker, more sinister Devil May Cry. You have weapons. You have to fight through to build up abilities for your weapons. They transform. It's real dark and medieval. And there's, like, some shit that's going on that you have to unravel. Stop me when this game doesn't sound like something I would love.
Okay.
Okay?
I can't stop you because you're absolutely right. But what they didn't tell you, or rather they thought you would infer...
No, they didn't think I would infer it because they said...
I know, but...
And this does not play like Demon Souls, because the developer said they wanted to make a game that was more accessible, because Demon Souls was not a game that the common person could play.
It's not! Difficulty is exactly the same. The only thing that I can honestly tell you is different about this game is that there is no morality system built in. Because remember, like with Demon's Souls and stuff, when you died in a world, your death tainted it and made things more difficult for you to reclaim your body. Now, what they're doing in this game is that when you die, you get transported back to the hub where... And it's called the Hunter's Dream. So for all you know, you don't really die.
As much as you pass out. Even though Screech says, you have died.
It does tell you you've died, but you always revert back to the dream. So, like, obviously going through the narrative. And mind you, this is From Software we're talking about. There's no tangible linear narrative. You're not going to get all the answers because you certainly didn't get them all in Demon Souls. You didn't get it in Dark Souls or Dark Souls 2. So you should have if you played the games, which I didn't. So you were not aware. But me coming from a place that I played Demon's Souls through 3 playthroughs, because I'm a sadistic mofo like that, played through 1 playthrough of Dark Souls, then bought Dark Souls 2, uploaded it, and said no more. Like, I couldn't even Dark Souls 2. So, but I knew when we saw Bloodborne that we were getting a different skinned, harder Demon's Souls.
That's not what they said.
Ninja. People lie to your face every day.
Lie to my face every other day. Let's be honest.
I have the ability to lie, so do they. And that's what they did. Now I'm assuming from your stance on not completing the game.
Wait, let me finish. Can I finish my words, please?
Yes, go ahead.
I am not going to finish the story of the game. I'm not done playing Bloodborne.
Okay.
But I just know I am not going to complete this story anytime soon. Okay. I haven't made it past the first fucking level yet.
Technically, neither have I, but how many times have you died?
I've died 22 times.
Oh, that's a lot of time.
I've died 22 times in under 30 minutes.
Okay.
Now, I will preface this that my first 15 minutes of play, I was feverish. So there was probably more.
You cannot rely on illness for the rest of your life.
I can't. But here's the thing. So, like, I thought I was really fucking up because I started the game. Yeah. And they don't tell you anything.
No. Nope.
By the way.
Character, and boom, you're in the middle of it. Which
okay.
Is, they kind of did it in Demon's Souls, too.
All right. So,
like I said, I knew what was coming.
I wake up after having, like, some very weird fucking dreams.
You're not dreaming. You're this thing called a pale blood.
And I have an infusion.
And this guy wants to give you the abilities that are needed in Yharmon. So, you get an infusion that gives you abilities. And I'm using air quotes here because they don't really unlock until after you get through the initial level, which
of course, which I haven't. I haven't finished the tutorial. I've died 22 times in the tutorial.
Well, because at the beginning of it, because the thing
can about I tell my story? Because I was talking.
Sorry.
Thank you. Because I don't have a lot of voice, so I gotta use it while I have it.
Okay.
So I wake up, and I'm like, hey, I'm gonna explore things, so I'm gonna go look at all the things that are bright. It's kind of hard to see all the things that are bright, because the game is very dark in this house that you're in. So I cheated and went black, and I turned the brightness up.
Oh, you cheater.
So I could see shit. I couldn't see anything. So I'm walking through the house. I'm not noticing the little vapor dreaming things. I don't notice them. I'm walking right past all of them. So I get to the wolf, the werewolf, and I'm like, shit, I don't have a weapon. The only thing I know how to do is this open hand punch. I guess I'm gonna punch this wolf to death. Awesome.
Punch this guy.
So I charge into the wolf, and I, like, hit him three times, and, like, he eats me, and it's like, wait, I died. What the hell? So I'm waiting, because the load screens, and that's one of the things that, like,
forever.
That's one big beef I have with the game, even though I haven't made it past the tutorial yet, is
You have to sit through, like, literally maybe 4 minutes of load screen.
I've actually timed it out, the longest that I had to sit was a minute and 45 seconds.
Oh my god.
So far. Which, when you just immediately died, it's kind of a suck to watch just the word Bloodborne on your screen.
I have to give props to Destiny on this, because Destiny had some load screens, but at least you were watching something move.
Exactly.
Animated, keeping your attention off the fact that
as much as people were pissed about Destiny, at least there was either, if you wanted to listen, if you hadn't heard it 80 times before, narrative about the story, about why you were doing what you're doing. There was motion going on, and then when that finished, you were active in play.
Yes.
Like, that's a good load screen. If I have to sit for a minute and a half or 2 minutes, or in some cases, I have heard for people, because they've been bitching about it on Twitter, some people have had load screens of over 3 minutes.
Oh my god, no. No.
And that's on the digital download. So that's not the people running it off a disc. That's brutal. A really long load screen. Now, don't get me wrong. Bloodborne is a really, really hefty, freaking graphic game.
And it's a beautiful game. Absolutely
right. It is absolutely beautiful. And when you are able to, like, be fighting and not die, it runs really fast.
It is gorgeous.
It is phenomenal.
Effortlessly.
Which is probably why the load screens are so long, because it has to reload all that stuff.
Probably.
But you should benefit from not having to have such heavy load screens if you've done the digital download. Like, I bought it digitally. So I installed it to my PlayStation, and it takes 27 and a half gigs on the install. So it is not a little game. It should not have load screens that painfully long. So of course I punch the wolf. I die. I don't know that I die.
Oh no,
the screen pops up. Okay, and I am in what I learned later, because it didn't tell me any of this shit. I'm in the hunter's dream. So I'm looking at this house, I'm trying to open doors, I'm walking everywhere, still not seeing any of the white things on the ground, going, oh, I should interact with these. I'm actually running around them, because I don't know. Game didn't tell me, I don't know. So there are three doors, I can't open them, there's a gate, I can't open it. I bounce back, and I see that there are red ones, and then there are white ones. So I'm like, what the hell? So I'm like, maybe I have to look at all these things before I can open a door. So I look at all of them except for two. The two that give me weapons. So I'm stuck in the hunter's dream for 8 minutes because I can't figure out how to get out of the dream. I don't know how. I don't know that I'm in a dream. I don't know how to get out of the dream.
Laugh of the day, bro.
I've looked at like every white thing except for the last two. I retraced my steps. I made myself a little map, and I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna mark off every one of these little white things that I've gone to because I must have missed one, including the one where I found the hat and I gave the minions a hat, and they're like, oh, now we'll wear the hat whenever you give us the thing. I'm like, well, that's fucking useless.
Yeah, they wanted something cute.
I was just like, all right, so some of the guys wear a hat now. Okay. So, like, I retraced my steps and finally figured out there were two that I didn't touch. So I touched those two, and they give me weapons. And I'm like, okay, great. I have weapons. Now how the fuck do I get out? So I retrace my steps. I go to all the doors. Can't get out of the doors. Nothing tells me that I have to go to a fucking grave.
Right. Yeah.
So I'm stuck in the dream for, like, 8 minutes. So now I'm getting pissed. I'm getting ready to rage quit because I'm like, well, maybe if I quit to the home screen.
Did you talk to the doll?
The doll didn't talk.
Yes. Yes, she does.
No, I went up to the doll like, oh, somebody abandoned a doll. I'm like, oh, great. Moved on.
After the second time you go back to the hub, if you talk to her, if you go to her, she will talk to you.
Well, no, I did not know that. So I have not done that.
When you make a certain amount of progress and you beat the boss, then she'll say, hey, now you can power up stuff. Like your stats.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Well, I haven't even gotten to that point yet. So I finally
You talk to the old hunter dude in the wheelchair? Oh, I'm going to say no.
No, what hunter dude in a wheelchair?
Anyway, so wait. Finish what you're going to say so then I can say my words.
Okay. So I finally have to pause the game because I'm like, no, I'm getting out of this thing. Because obviously there's supposed to be a way out for me. So I need to get out. So I go to the internet. And I fire up a walkthrough because I'm stuck in this dream. I don't know how to get out. Right. And they're like, all right. So a lot of people have been stuck in the hunter's dream. Like, that's the opening line of this walkthrough that this guy put together that he posted on IGN's board, by the way. And he's like, so I'm going to help you guys get out of the hunter's dream because, yeah, it's actually really not clear how you get out of the dream. And so I'm, like, reading. I'm like, yeah, I did that. I did that. Oh, I did that. Oh, I didn't know I could talk to the doll. All right. The doll's just going to be like, oh, yeah, I'm a doll. All right, cool. And then it's like, so then you go over to this grave. And then it'll be like, oh, you can exit. So I walk over to the grave. And it's like, nope, can't go back to any points yet. I'm like, what the hell? So I read on further. And it's like, oh, if you haven't gone over to talk to the guy that could do power-ups, although you don't have anything to do power-ups yet, it won't let you out. So I'm like, that's bullshit. I'm like, it's not going to work because I'm going to walk over to this guy that I didn't see in the corner, and I'm going to walk back over. And then I was like, oh, yep, now you can go back to Yharnam. I'm like, son of a bitch. Okay, so, yeah, it took me 8 minutes to get out of the hunter's dream.
Okay. Are those all your words now?
For the hunter's dream part, yeah.
Okay.
So then I get back into the house. Now I have a weapon. So I beat the werewolf with my blade, because I went with the blade, not the axe, not the cane, but I went with the blade, because I liked the fact that it could fling out and be cyclical.
What did you use for the gun? What
gun? I went with the pistol. I did not go with the blunderbuss.
Okay.
I just thought it didn't do enough damage to be useful for me. It did do enough damage to be useful for me for the way that I play.
Okay.
And so I figured as far as beefing it up, it would probably be the better weapon for this character. Because I do like the fact that you can make multiple characters in this game. And I do like the depth of the character creation. I made a very cool-looking black chick that I hope at some point we actually get to see her face. Because she has a cool
face. Eventually, if you get out of the tutorial and you can buy different clothes, I'm sure you'll
be able to. And I love how you said, if you can get out of the tutorial.
Well, because you can't buy anything else until you're out.
Like, I'm talking about if I actually make it out of the tutorial.
Because while you're in there, there's one set that's available for purchase while you're in the tutorial, which are all higher stats than what you're currently wearing if you haven't done that already. I went and bought all of mine. But anyway.
I'm just wearing whatever I was wearing.
So that, yeah, you haven't even, yeah, okay.
I don't know how to buy things. Where do I go to buy things? I don't know. It didn't tell me.
Go to the Gap Messenger.
I go to the what?
Anyway.
All right.
Finish your words.
All right. So I get into the level and I beat the wolf. I don't realize that there's a button that I have to hit in order to make the blade sling out. So I'm just killing things with my blade retracted.
Okay.
it took me a little while to realize, oh, if I hit the shoulder button, it'll pop out, and I can stand further back and hit things. Yay! That was after, like, my sixth death. I figured that one out.
Okay.
Then I figured out how to equip my gun, because I thought just buying them would equip them. It didn't. So I kept trying to pull my gun, and my hand would just reach back and be like, I got nothing! So I finally figured out how to equip my pistol, my other hand. That was after death 9. So then I started taking out, like, the little guys. Figured out how to open a gate so I could actually...
Oh, good. That's
like,
very good.
Yeah, that was really helpful. So I'm like, this mechanism has to work someplace. Figured that out. Got moving and grooving along. And finally heard what I assume is the boss of the tutorial schluffing around. So I'm like, alright, I'm going to kill this mofo. Now, here's the deal. I play the game and start my game online, so I constantly see, like, notes and things that other people have left behind. I love that.
Helpful.
Super helpful.
We got those Demon Souls and Dark Souls.
Because I walked up to one, and it was like, ambush ahead. Have pistol out. And I'm like, nice. Thanks, guys. So I whip out my pistol. I take the guys out. I ran across one that was like, hey, be aware of the crowd. Because there's like this...
A patrol that walks by.
I was like,
the layout you're talking
about. Nice. So I let the patrol walk by. And then I sneak down. I'm like, all right. So here's the guy. I need to take him out. So do I need to blaze a path to him? Because there are like objects in the way. So I knock a couple of those out. I let him walk towards me, and I go around the corner.
Are you talking about that big guy with the big axe?
Yeah, that's the guy. I haven't beat him yet.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't beat him yet.
Yeah. Are you dodging?
I try to dodge.
No, you need to dodge.
No, I try to dodge when he picks me up, though, and eats my chest.
Yeah, well, if you don't die, you need to become a master of dodge because of that one hit that he has.
Yeah, I tried to make dodge, and my dodge no make... I die.
Yeah, okay.
And so, my final death, death number 22, I had, like, gotten 4 hits in on him, I think, and I thought that I still had bullets yet, because I can't see bullets for some reason, how many I have or don't have.
They're up in the top.
No, mine aren't. I can't see bullets.
Oh, so then you're having an issue.
I'm having an issue because I know I picked up bullets, never got any indication of how many I have. Went to go fire, and it's like click, click. And I was like, oh, I must be out of bullets. So I'm looking at what I believe was my health gauge, and I'm like, well, I still have health because like this guy's hitting me, and then it's like you are dead, and then all of a sudden my entire health gauge just drains. After it tells me I'm dead.
Okay.
And I'm like, wait, what? No, I thought I have a hit.
And I can explain.
And so that was death 22. And I was like, you know what? I am going to go and not play this game right now. And instead, what I'm going to do is take a nap. And thus ended my initial Bloodborne gameplay.
Okay. Is it my time for
work? And now it's your time, because you've gotten much farther than I have.
Well, I'm still...
And so your experience should be different.
I'm still in the tutorial like you. However, I'm playing a little more defensively, it sounds. So from my playthrough, this is what I have been able to gather. Like from the cutscene, you're a pale blood, which apparently is very unique in this world. And you are then transported to this town called Yarmen, which is considered...
You gotta pronounce it like it's a Massachusetts city. Yarnum. It's Yarnum.
Yarnum.
Yep.
And it is a cursed city. And what you happen to have come into this city on the night of the hunt, which I don't know all the full details of, but a lot of monsters tend to roam through this city and have been eating people and have been transforming people into these horrific creatures, which is why the people that you're fighting through this town are all deformed. I think they have been...
Yep. Transformed.
They have been mutated into these things. You are human and are not transformed, but you do have some of the Yanam blood in you, which allows you to wield these weapons, have these abilities, and not be succumbed to the mutation if you are conquered or defeated.
Right.
And while you're going through the town, there are certain areas that there are these little red lamps near doors, and there are townspeople who all are dicks. Like, they are all mean because, like, you're on the outside of the hunt. So literally, if you are found, you are obviously murdered because you are considered a monster by the lich mobs of transmuted humans that right. are prowling. And so, like, the first guy you encounter that you knock on his door, he's like, sucks to be you trapped outside on the night of the hunt.
I didn't knock on anybody's door.
You got to interact with stuff, which means you got to be tactful. But you'll encounter several different people. Like, there's one lady who you encounter who's just like, I feel really bad for you, but I'd love to open this door, but I really can't. I've got children in here. Like, so some of them, you don't understand why they're being a dick, and some of them are just plain up dicks. Like, and Yanam doesn't like outsiders, so there's already another point against you because you're clearly an outsider.
Obviously.
And as you're fighting the baddies, if you listen, because they all speak English, like, you can understand them. And you actually hear them saying, you are not wanted here. Or, like, you're not. So, like, they're aggressive to you for a lot of reasons, which hopefully, maybe this time, FromSoftware will be smarter about narrative and directive that will get more of a story, because obviously there's some serious stuff going on. So you find out that there is, in Yharnam, there is rumored to be this magical remedy, this medical remedy
yep.
that they want to use on these, you know, mutated people. But it's in this one corner of town, and the people who control it, kind of like the Ministry of Magic, but it's called, like, the Ministry of Blood Malifications or Ministrations or something like that, is keeping this remedy away from everybody. And, like, they won't let anyone near the area. So one of the guys that you encounter when you knock on his door, he was an outsider, and he's like, I would let you in, but I seriously can't, but I'll be as helpful as I possibly can. He tells you that he's like, you know, no, during the normal days, no one would ever be anywhere remotely close to getting to the healing church. That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. He's like, but since you're on the outside on the night of the hunt, where, like, this might be the only chance you'll get to get there. So and that's what I think the plot is. That's what you're trying to do, is you're trying to get to the healing church to see what's really going on there, if this remedy is real, and then, you know, and defeating monsters along the way. Now, with that known, when I chose my character, because at the beginning when you make your character, you think you're just making a character to suit your aesthetic need. Because, I mean, I like my characters to, one, be female, not just because I'm female, but just because they're prettier to look at. And two, I tend to like to make them look like me if I can, but that's not the route that I went. What I found interesting is that you have to choose kind of what your backstory is. And through developing what that is, we'll show you what kind of stats you get equipped with at the start. So I always look at that, because clearly, looking at the whole stat list, you know that, you know, with, like, Arcane, you realize you're going to be dealing with some type of power.
Yep.
Outside of, you know, your physical ability. Like in Demon Souls and Dark Souls, you had, like, Arcane casters, like, you had spell casters. I don't believe spells are going to be implemented in this game, but something that requires some type of special ability through your pale blood, and this is all my assumption.
It's probably going to be some kind of effect that you can put on your weapon, an enchantment maybe. Or something.
Maybe. I'm not sure about that yet. But, like I said, I'm still in the tutorial, and I mean, I'm actually playing eerily competitively with my Biffle in the house, because we're using his copy because I don't have one. And I play more passively. Like, I mean, I've only died at this point 6 times.
Oh, yeah, no, I died 22.
Because, I mean, I walk slow. I don't run any places because there are things like ambushes and there are mobs and there are things that can fall down and impede on a route. So, like, I'm always watching every angle that I have, because you never know when something could become loose and could come after you. I chose the pistol and the hand axe as my weapons because, like I said, in these games, initially I've always been a spellcaster, but because that's not an option, I do now have to rely on being combative. And I knew that, for one, the blunderbuss being a shotgun, I'd have to get a lot closer than I felt personally comfortable with. So I figured I would use my pistol to allow me to kite and pick off people.
Yep.
Which is what its stats really kind of allow for. So I will accrue bullets and I will find a higher point. And like when that path, that patrol of like five will roll, I'll wait for the last one because always the last one kind of sits further back in the pack. And I'll pick that one off until there's only one more. And then I'll take that guy down Brown Town and it's super easy. the furthest I have got. I got to, because at one point you go through this area where there's this giant rock brute, and he's kind of an asshole to deal with. It took me a little bit, but I got him. And as I'm working up these steps, I'm making it towards, because there are two bosses in the tutorial, one that ends the level and one that doesn't. So you want to make sure, if you're trying to critical path this, that you know which boss you're pathing to. Because I've seen somebody get to a boss and think it's the boss, and then it's not the boss, and they go, what the fuck?
All right, so the brute that I was talking about, is he the critical boss?
No. So the one you're talking about when you first, where the patrol is, he's the one all the way down to the left.
Yeah.
He is just a brute. So that you can see, and he's actually like a middle level brute because most like lower level brutes don't have the hoods on and generally have like a stump or like a club, and he has like a metal axe.
So I don't have to fight him?
No. Nope.
I don't have to go that way? I thought I had to go that way.
Nope, you don't have to. Granted, if in your first playthrough of the level, if you manage to defeat him, you do get a pretty sick thing that allows you to upgrade your weapon. So when you feel confident that to go after him, that's more ideal. But he is not the guy you need to worry about. So
I have to go the way that the fucking...
The path is walking.
God,
the way that they're patrolling. You want to follow them when they're rolling up because then it brings you to a big bonfire where a beast is being roasted and there's like a slew of enemies in there. And then there's a little pathway that leads you to like a somebody's backyard, like a backyard to a mansion with like a fountain and stuff. And then there's another pair of stairs that lead you up to like a tower-ish thing where there are two of those wolfies that you encountered in the first house, but they're a lot faster and hurt a lot more.
Oh, great. Great.
My third death was with them because I was trying to kite one and it backed up and it backed up into the second one and I was not prepared to take on two at the same time. But after you beat the wolfies, you go down a little ways and then you meet the boss that ends the level and it's the cleric beast. I have seen the Biffle go after him and get butt raped horribly because he has a horrible range and your dodge. What my perception is when you think you should dodge, you should have already dodged because there is a delay. There is a delay in motion. So if you're dodging when you feel you should be dodging, he's already in your hitbox area and you are already taking damage. Now, going back to your initial conversation about you thought you had health while you were fighting somebody and then you saw that you were dead and then your whole life bar like dropped, is there's a mechanic built in that they really kind of want you to be very aggressive when you're fighting these guys. And they actually want you to do it in a stealthier way where you're taking them out from behind. Because if you can do that, you will do an invincible cinematic where you'll pretty much reduce them to like a blood puddle, like a true death blood puddle. And during that, you are actually sucking out the last bit of their life force. So once you've engaged in combat and they have hit you, if you manage to execute this thing, you pretty much absorb their life. So like they're waiting to see if you're going to do it before they detract your life points from you.
That does not help me because I look at the screen and go, oh, I still have life. I'm good. I can continue this attack. And then it's like, you are dead. And then the bar goes away to like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Bad game. Bad.
I am not very good at it, but I've watched the Biffle do it and he has it down to a science. There is also, you are able to stagger your enemies with your left-handed weapon, which is usually a gun. I also have a torch now, but I haven't exactly worked how that works. But with your gun, and this is
that has no bullets and I can't find any bullets.
Well, here's the thing. If you have a lot of health, and then I'll go back to this whole stunning thing with your gun. If you have a lot of health, if you use the directional up pad and you hit that, it triggers this ability that you have to make bullets from your blood. So then it will fill up your gun to the maximum 20. for a limited time for you to use them because they will slowly dissipate, but at the cost of your health. So that is an ability that you also get. But going back to
studying is a habit.
Yeah. But it seems to be a lot easier. It's easily done with the blunderbuss over the pistol. And like I said, I have a pistol, so I had a hard time figuring out the rhythm for it, but I watched the Biffle do it with his blunderbuss. And it's a trip because what you have to do is you literally have to wait for the baddie to be in line to hit you, like in swing of motion to hit you. And then you have to shoot your gun, which causes them to stagger. And usually they take a knee, which then gives you enough time to hit them with an R2 attack or a couple R1 attacks and still have enough stamina to roll away or dodge out of another one. And
I'm not finishing this game.
It is a dance, my friend. And like, he has died a lot of times, but he's already out of the tutorial level. And now he's just helping coach me through it because, like I said, I'm far more passive. And he's like, some of these people you need to just rush into. And you have to. It's a part of the combat system. And they're not going to reward you for being too safe, which I have seen firsthand. From my experiences with Demon Souls and Dark Souls, it's the exact same mechanic. Yeah, the town is different. The story is going to be different. And they are not linked to Demon Souls or Dark Souls. Absolutely. I don't see how they'd be able to merge them together. But the overly bearing, grueling, daunting hatred that people harbored for those games are live and well in Bloodborne. And I mean, I had a moment where I thought I was going to quit, but then I went and realized I was just hungry and I had a bowl of cereal and I had 2 cups of coffee and then I went back at it. So
maybe I just eat some popcorn because like my plan is that I am going to attack this game when I can give it like a bunch of hours to go
a bunch of hours too.
Because this I know that attacking it while feverish was dumb.
Probably.
But it was really like my only opportunity to play the game before we were going to record this podcast originally. So I was like, I got to do it. I got to play it. I can do it.
Depending on if you finally get out of the tutorial, there is a multiplayer option. It's not true multiplayer in the sense that you could see me playing and say, hey, Panda, come help me. But in the vein of Demon's Souls and Dark Souls, there's a way for you to put out a beacon of sorts that people who are in the same area as you can see and then interact. And that can be done doing just a sweep of the area or even during boss battles, which could be advantageous for both you and
whoever. I look forward to like getting into that. That's one of the reasons why I really wanted to do the online play to experience that. But make no mistake about it, I'm going to do my damnedest to get as far in this game as I possibly can, because that's going to be a badge of honor for me. Like, my goal this week is to get out of the tutorial without dying 20 more times. I would like to keep the deaths under 8, and that will be, like, my badge. Because it is very difficult. It is a difficult game.
Oh, yeah.
But I respect
there's no
its
training
difficulty.
Wheels in this game, but there weren't any training wheels in Demon's Souls or Dark Souls, so that's even something you
I do
knew.
Respect its difficulty.
Me too.
I respect it. Okay? I don't know that I could rise to that challenge.
You're
because
gonna have to try.
I'm gonna try. But, you know, it's one of the things that for the longest time kept me out of FPS is because of the cyst that I have on my wrist and the removal, I don't have as much dexterity in my right hand as most people. So when I have to constantly be doing stuff with all of the buttons and controllers, you know, both analog sticks and the D-pad and triggers and shoulder buttons on games, I tend to not have great success with games like that.
Okay.
Because of my limited mobility with my hand. So
well, then you'll feel so much more satisfied when you do it.
I will. It, like I said, it's going to be my badge of honor. True, true, true. It will be my badge. And so if I can make it like halfway through this game, I'm going to be like beyond the moon ecstatic. Because I know, just for the tutorial, if the tutorial is taxing me this much, there's no way with the amount of time that I get to play games, I'm going to finish this game.
For shit show 2015.
You know, and there are more games that are still coming. There are more games coming, so I can't just devote my life to Bloodborne. But I will say this. It is beautiful. And as much as I have rage quit, which I have done already twice, I keep going back. Like, there's a Penny Arcade strip that I think sums it up of Gabe is like, fucking Bloodborne death fucking, I quit. And Tycho's in the back washing dishes like, you quit again. He's like, no, it's stupid. It is ridiculous. Like, you know, two werewolves, you know, werewolf me once, shame on me, you know, but like two? And it's like, because the only way that you, like, it's even possible to get through it. And he starts strategizing in his head. And so Ty goes, so you're unquitting now? And he's like, I'm unquitting for the moment, but I reserve the right to quit again. That's kind of where I'm living right now. And I haven't even gotten to those two werewolves.
No, you haven't.
And so obviously Gabe, when he wrote the strip, was at the same point where you are. Yeah. So everybody's in the tutorial except for like six people.
So... it's okay, though.
But I love it. I love it. It's really...
just keep swimming.
Just keep swimming. So, yeah. So, I have had my ass handed to me, but I kind of enjoyed it. So, Bloodborne. Definitely, if you like challenge, and I mean you really like challenge, it's solid.
I agree.
And I suck at it.
That's okay, though.
It is.
It's okay.
So that's what I got for this week.
Yep, that's all I have too.
So make sure that you check out all the stuff that we write about on our website, www.egmnow.com/electricsisterhood. That's where you'll find all the newest, latest, and greatest reviews of AAA titles and things like that. You can check out our website, the home site, electricsisterhood.com. Catch the podcast there, as well as all of our indie pieces, interviews, and stuff like that. I highly recommend that you bookmark both pages, because we've got all kinds of content hitting all the time. Our new podcasts go out on Monday, and you will catch them in iTunes, either on your desktop application or via the iOS application podcasts. On those devices, iPad, iPhone, all iPod Touch, all that good stuff. You'll also find our podcast on Stitcher Radio. You'll find it in the Microsoft Store. You'll find it on VogNetwork.com. You'll just find it if you go to the interwebs and search for it. So make sure that you do, because we love doing this show and we think that you like hearing it. So subscribe and make sure that you get brand new episodes the moment that we put them out on the web. And then if you're checking out our shows, make sure that you check out everybody that's part of the ESH publishing family. That includes No Borders, No Race, which is over at b3crew.com. New episodes go on Tuesdays. That includes Geek Aggro, Beats for Your Feet. That includes the Issues program, because if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues together. Make sure that you check out the live programs, recaps. I'm telling you, hilarious stuff there. And for the rest of the week, keeping your needs satiated, we are on social. Join us there. Starting with our Facebook page, facebook.com/landofash. The entire team is there. You can share stuff with us, things that you'd like us to include on a podcast. Just let us know. We'll check it out and let you know what show it's going to be on. You can just see things that are catching our fancy and that we find interesting and feel like sharing. All on our page. Like, share, engage, tell your friends, bring some friends. It's all good. And on Twitter, at ESH News, we're keeping you updated with all the goings-ons that are goings-ons that are pretty nerdy. So, get us on social, get at us via email, get at us on the podcast. Just get at us, because we like you. You like us. It's a relationship. So with that, I'm going to turn to my sister over the internet and say, hey, yo, sis.
Hello.
What shit you digging this week?
I'm digging melting snow.
Oh, isn't melting snow the best? I was able to get
it
to the track.
It is so wonderful to finally see muddy brown grass.
Sidewalks. I was able to get to the trash cans so I could actually put trash out for time in like two
it's
months.
It's January.
Like, no joke. It's been 6 weeks.
So, what shit are you digging this week?
Being able to put my trash out.
Yay!
Yay! Yay! Clean! Clean! No longer unclean! Yay! And the recycle. What's up? Thanks, spring. Wait, I'm sorry. Thanks, Obama. As always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Peace.